Well, good morning again, and thank you so much for being here on Mother's Day. I mean, we always have you kind of ride the wave for Mother's Day for us, because being a young church and more of a contemporary church, everybody tends to go to church with mom, and so that's always it's always a hit or miss for me. And so I know this year we've got several people that have gone to be with their moms and gone to graduations and different things, and so it's just kind of neat to see the crowd and see who comes and who's here. And so today is a very special day as we begin this series, because it's going to be one of those that I think as we go through the next several weeks is going to build on itself, and it's going to be one of those that is going to, I think, impact how we look at parenting and how we look at relationships that we have. And so today I hope that you're prepared to kind of dig into where you are spiritually and where God has you. And so we want to begin with our series and begin today. Just think about this. If you are a parent, or you know a parent, or whatever, I mean, parenting is a difficult thing, isn't it? I mean, it's tough. There's all kinds of things that go along with it. There's intense highs, there's lows, everything else that you have to deal with. I love what Mark Twain says. He says, when a kid gets 13, put them in a barrel and nail it shut. When a kid gets 16, you know, not only do you put them in the barrel, nail it shut, and you've been feeding them through a knot hole for the last 3 years, now you just plug the knot hole and forget about it, you know, because at 16, it's just, they just lose their minds. And so it's one of those things that we need to understand, that parenting is tough. There's joy. I mean, I've had more joy in my life from parenting my girls than I could ever communicate to you. But, you know, I've also had kind of the most intense pains from parenting. 12 years ago this weekend, Kelly and I experienced one of the most difficult times in our marriage, as we went through the loss of a child at 5 months. And you know, kind of on Mother's Day weekend, we had to go through the weekend knowing that there was no heartbeat, that there was, you know, it was just tough. And so I understand what it feels like to have the highs, and I know what it's like to have the lows, and I know that parenting is one of those things that sometimes we joke about and we laugh about, but the reality is that parenting is one of those things that we have to take seriously. And I see in our culture, in our, you know, all around us, that parenting is not as serious as it needs to be. And so that even flows into the church. And so I want us to think about in our church, in our group of people here, that I want us to think about where we are. For those of us that are parents, for those of us that have influence over children, which is really most of us in the room, how do we approach that, and how do we work through that? Parenting is one of the things that again brings highs and lows. And you know, I tell you, some of the times that I've laughed the hardest have been at my girls. You know, I think about the time that my oldest daughter, Allie, I better not do that, okay? I better not do that today, because I always pick on her. She always becomes the butt of my joke. So I tell you what, Allie's off limits today. In fact, even Aaron is today. I want you to think about the funniest moment that ever happened to you as a parent. For somebody that I know, it was yesterday when their kid pulled the fire alarm at the church and set it off. You know, that was one of the funniest things. I won't call any names or anything, but, you know, that was kind of funny. I got a phone call, and you could hear the alarm going off in the background. But for some of, we've just had funny stuff happen, right? And so we need to be able to take the funny stuff and balance that out with the painful stuff, and then focus in on the things that God has for us and become the parents that He wants us to be. There is a priority that needs to take place in all of this. And so I need to help us today by beginning to look at the parent's priority. Help us focus in on the parent's priority. And here's what we learn from Scripture. We're going to be looking at Deuteronomy chapter 6 today. If you have your Bibles or your phone app, go ahead and get there. We're going to hang there really most of the day. But in Deuteronomy 6, we find this principle that it really is this, that a parent's priority is to gradually transfer a child's dependence away from the parents until their dependence rests solely on God. That for me and you as a parent, or anyone who has influence on a child, it is for us to, to be able to shift the dependence off of us and off of this world onto the one who created this world. It's one of those, it's a thing that we need to be able to see first and foremost, and it's the lens that we need to be able to look at our influence with children over, and especially as parents. Looking at it from that, because, I mean, when our kids are little, they depend on us totally, right? I mean, we have to feed them, we have to, you know, change them, all of that stuff, they're completely dependent on us. But as they begin to grow, you know, things here and there, they begin to pick up on their own. And so that's our, but our focus is as that dependence shifts, that it not shift to the world and to the things that are around them, but to God who created it. So we need to be able to do that. So beginning in Deuteronomy 6, let's begin. The context of this is that Moses, now I want you to be sure that you know that really is Moses that I'm talking about today. Moses brought the Ten Commandments. Just, I want you to be sure and have confidence in me that Moses brought the Ten Commandments. Because last week, I've kind of hurt my credibility a little bit when I told the story of Rebecca and called her Rachel throughout my whole message. So if you were here last week, you totally heard the story of Rebecca and not Rachel. But you'll just have to, in your mind, if you ever listen to it again, you'll have to switch them in your head, because your pastor had a big brain, one of those things, a brain cramp, I'll call it that, and called Rebecca Rachel all message long. So today it is Moses who brought the Ten Commandments, not Noah or any of those guys. It's Moses, and he brings the Ten Commandments to the people, and he begins to tell them how to live, that God has given these commandments for them to live. And then he says this in Deuteronomy 6, verse 1. He says, "These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live." Listen, it's not about just us. So often as parents, you know, it can be easy to get focused on us, but Moses reminds us that it's not just about us, but it's about our children and about the ones that are going to come after that. It's about our generations that we need to be living for now, because how we influence our kids and the kids around us will determine what the next generation is like. And let me just say that we're reaping some of that now. We've seen in generations before that it got a little bit slack, and then the next one, it got a little bit more slack. And now, as you kind of see it happening, man, it's really, we're at a critical place that we need to begin to live according to his commands, not what we think, not how we interpret it, not how we want it to be and wish it was, but how he said it is. It's pretty simple. We need to be able to transfer to that, because not only will we be changed, but the next generation will be changed, and the generation after that. And that's part of the command that we have on us. The realization needs to come to us as parents that we have within us, as followers of Christ, the power to change generations and generations to come. Now, I say that as children and as followers of Christ, but let me just say, we have that power without being a follower of Christ. Because whatever decisions we make, whether we follow him or don't follow him, can affect generation after generation. And so we need to find out what it is that he wants so that we can be all that he wants us to be. In Deuteronomy 6, we find two very important principles to live by. Two very important principles that help us, that we need to live out as parents, and those that help us transfer that dependency from us to God. Here's the first one. If you're taking notes, remember, you want to write this down. The first one is that you need to love your God. Love your God. Say that with me. Love your God. It's pretty simple, right? And we've heard that a bunch. If you've been around church at all, you've heard that you're to love your God. And this is one of the principles that come out of this. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, it says this: "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Now, this was a saying that a devout Jew would have said three times a day. He would have said it morning, noon, and night. And they would have said it over and over again as a reminder and as a praise. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. It was important for them to say that, and they would follow it up with these words in verse 5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. You ever heard that before? Where do you hear that at? Jesus, right? Why did Jesus say those words? What did he say about that phrase? It's the greatest commandment. Thank you. It's the greatest commandment. It's the most important thing, period, that you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. We're to do that. If we're going to be what God wants us to be, whether it's as a parent, as a person, whether it's as a whatever it is that you do, then you've got to love God with everything that you have. We talk about it all the time. It's the first part of really our mission here, to help people develop a love for God. And it's to love God with all that they have. Not part of what they have, not some of what they have, not a little bit of what they have, and not a whole lot of what they have, but what? All. To love God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength. I think one of the issues that we run into is that, especially within the church, is that we've begun to love God with some or part of our heart, but not with all of our heart, not with all of our soul, not with all of our strength. It becomes evident in the things that we do. And what happens is that as parents, when we love our God with part of our heart or part of our strength, guess who else begins to love God with part of our heart or part of their heart and part of their strength? Our kids, right? And so we need to understand that that is easy how it works. It's very easy to give our kids part. And to see them understand part, but not understand all. And when we give part, then we sometimes mess up the whole idea of all. You know what a flu shot is? Anybody get a flu shot? Yeah, what happens when they give you a flu shot? What do they give you? They give you the flu, right? They give you a little bit of the flu so that it hopefully inoculates you to all of the flu. Never works with me. I always get more of the flu than I would have ever gotten. But the reality is it's supposed to work by giving you a little bit of the flu so that you don't get all of the flu. What we have become guilty of, unfortunately, so often in the church is we have given God part of our heart and part of our soul and part of our strength. And it has inoculated our kids to what it looks like to have a full heart towards God, a full strength and a full soul towards Him, to be sold out to Him. And sometimes it's not even our fault that necessarily that's happened, because that's what happened before us. And we're just living out the part that we saw our parents give. But the reality is that God calls us to love Him with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our strength. And we've begun to inoculate our kids to really what it is to follow Him and sell out to Him. Doesn't mean we don't have fun. Doesn't mean that life's not cool. It's not that we miss out on things. Really, we experience so much more by being able to do that. But we are so afraid of missing something that we've begun to not give all to Him. And there's a lot of things that distract us from that. Man, you know, there's like a gazillion channels on DirecTV. You know, there's on-demand things. I don't know how many, like 30,000 things you can watch on cable vision, on demand. I don't know, some ridiculous number. Man, we could sit and watch TV all day long, forever, and not watch all of it. You know, Netflix. And it doesn't take me long to usually get through the good things on Netflix, but nonetheless, if you watch it, you can eat up some real time doing it. We can eat up some time doing things with our families. You know, trying to provide for them, trying to give them things that we didn't have, trying to give them opportunities that we wish we'd had, but we didn't get, so we work so hard to do that, that we miss out on so much of life. We work hard pouring ourselves out on things so that our kids can have it. And what happens is we run the risk of becoming very child-centered versus God-centered parents. And man, we're just as guilty at the Laughlin household of running here and there and doing this and that. And all of a sudden we realize we've done all of this stuff and we've done nothing that has helped our kids spiritually. You know, we might have had some conversation along the way, but really we've spent a lot of time in a car, but not focused in on what it is that God wants us to get out of it. It happens so easy for us. I ran into a guy the other day, and I don't know, maybe you've done it too, at Walmart. You run into somebody and say, you know, hey, I hadn't seen you at church in a while. I'm like, yeah, you know, and I know. And you say, but man, you used to be there all the time, and you were all into it. You were all gung-ho, you know, what in the world? What's, you know, you okay? You sick? Whatever. Nah, I'm just busy. Anybody? I've been busy before. I've missed church because I was just busy. It happens. But you run into people all the time who were just, you know, they were sold out. They were going at it full steam, and, you know, ball practice happened, and dance class happened, and, you know, all kinds of things happened. And before long, you know, church becomes really not being at church isn't, man, there's no sin not coming to church. Don't get me wrong. But what happens is this is usually a symptom of something greater. It's something much more unhealthy when it comes to the relationship that people have with Jesus. And so we begin to give everything else us, and God gets just a little bit. And so he says that we are to love him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. What does that look like for us? We need to be able to do that and show our kids what that looks like. Love the Lord your God. It sends a message to our kids what's important. Being here is just not always enough either. It's church isn't to be a spectator sport. It's to be a participator sport, to be plugged in and show what the next generation, to show them what it looks like to be active. You know, if you ask my kids, man, my kids think that, you know, church is life in a sense. You know, we've done things to try to minimize them being here so much because, you know, we don't want them to think that just being at church is all about a relationship. So don't ever hear me say that you got to be here every time the doors are open. That's not what I'm asking. Because the reality is I'm trying to avoid that with my own family. Because I don't want them to believe that this is what loving God looks like. This is part of it. Because you love him and you love his family. And you want to be involved and you want to be plugged in and you want to be serving and you want to be growing. But the reality is that there's so much more to it. And we need to show our kids that there is an importance and a priority that goes into that. Here's what happens. You know, you say, Ron, man, I get that, but I take care of my kids, and you know, da 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 da. I've heard all of those things, but let me just show you the importance of being plugged in and being present. For kids who grow up and become active Christ followers as adults, here's what the influence looks like. If mom and dad come to church together, 72% of kids become active Christ-following adults. If just mom comes, guess what? It drops down. If just mom comes and brings the kids, if dads, we don't engage and we don't get our butts up and get busy and get plugged in, guess what? That number drops staggeringly low to 15%. But guess what? If dad brings the kids, it goes back up. It's 55%. That's a pretty good deal. Dad, if you will bring your kids, whether mama wants to lay in bed and sleep or whatever, if you'll bring your kids, you have a greater opportunity for them to become a Christ follower as an adult. Guess what happens if mom or dad, neither one come? 6%. See, parents, it's important that we get here, that we bring our kids, because if we want them to grow up and have the relationship with God that changes them for eternity, it's important for us to be plugged in. And we need to bring them when we come. Love the Lord God with all your heart. not only in your words, but in your actions. So let me ask you this. Do you love God with all of your heart or with some of your heart? You got to answer that question. I've had to answer it all week long. God's been pointing out things where, you know what, that's a sum of your heart. That's not all of your heart. And so I've had to confess some stuff. I've had to change the way I do some things because it wasn't loving Him with all that I can. And so we need to be able to do that. Parents, the best thing that you can do for your children is to love God with all of your heart. If you love Him that way, they will love Him that way. They will see it in you. So the first thing is to love your God. The second is found in Deuteronomy. It teaches this. It seems kind of small, but it's really important and profound. Number two is that we need to lead your family. You have to lead them. You can't just let it happen. You got to lead. I'm not a leader. Well, guess what? You shouldn't have a baby then, because you are a leader. If you're a parent, you are a leader. You are a leader. You like that one? Boom. Should I drop the mic and walk off? It's hooked. I can't drop it. We've got to lead your family. Lead your family spiritually. Comes out of Deuteronomy 6, verse 6 through 9. It says this: these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. I kind of like that word impress, you know, but anyway, that's another message. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. That one kind of cracks me up too. But write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. You know, if your kid writes on the wall with crayon, write scripture, let them go, you know. Don't yell at them for that. Just calmly wipe it off or something, but whatever. But just, you know, this doesn't leave anything out, does it? When you're lying down, when you're standing up, when you're walking, when you're sitting, when you're going, when you're not going, whatever. That we are to teach these things to make sure that our kids understand how important it is. If you want to find some messed up kids, you find some kids that have never had any influence like this. Now, there's good kids that never had any influence scripturally either, spiritually either, that grow up. But the odds are that if you will teach these things, that your kids will at some point, and we'll read some scripture in a minute, at some point, they'll get this, and that it'll change them for eternity. We must lead our family spiritually. Talk to them. Walk with them. Do everything that you can to help them. Don't leave it up to URE kids. Don't leave it up to URE students. Certainly don't leave it up to the school. All right? That ain't going to work. We need to lead our children, folks. Edward, the Duke of Windsor, says this: the thing that impresses me most about America is the way the parents obey their children. Now, you know, think about that. That's pretty true, isn't it? In a lot of cases. Now, I know we don't want to admit that. I know we want to say, no, not me, you know, iron fist in my house. Yeah, right. That's you come hang out with me and you'll say, God, Ron, you're tough in here. Yeah, when those two little girls, you know, give me those little girl eyes, it'll mess you up, man. You know, I got to hang out with little Braxton yesterday in Briar and went to Braxton game, man. He was all like, he was all just encouraging, and he was so glad. He's like, thanks, Ron, for coming to my game. Thanks. And he gave me a golf ball, and he kept asking me, like, where is the golf ball? And I'm like, I didn't need another golf ball, but, man, I'll never forget, never lose that golf ball that Braxton gave me yesterday. Because, like, you know, little kids have this thing that they turn you to mush. And when we look at parenting, gosh, I don't know what I'd do if I had to parent a little boy, too. I'd be messed up all the time, you know? But the reality is that we need to lead our children to be the one that sets the standard. And the only way to do that, really, it's the only way to lead well, no matter what you're doing, whether you're single or married, whether you're a boss or an employee, whatever place you find yourself leading in some way, you have to lead this way, and it's to lead intentionally. If we're going to be successful in making sure that we transfer this dependence from us to God, then we've got to be intentional about how we do it. We can't just hope it happens. You can't just hope that your kids get this. You got to lead them and show them. At our house, we have a lot of conversations. You know, I pick Allie up from school almost every day, and she gets in, and from Albemarle Middle all the way at least to Central Elementary, where I pick up Aaron, and many times on beyond that, I get the whole rundown of all the drama that happened in seventh grade at Albemarle Middle that day. And I mean, it's nonstop. I don't tell her, but I don't listen to all of it. At some point about ninth or Montgomery somewhere, I fuzz over, you know, just, but anyway, but I get the rundown, okay? And so what I do, though, is to keep me engaged, I change it. I try to shift it from the drama of negativity that's gone on all day long to the positivity of what could God do different in that situation. And how could she be the one who leads her friends intentionally towards knowing who God is and allowing him to move in their lives and to bless them rather than having to let all this stuff just eat them up all day long? And so we have to do it intentionally. If I did just fuzz over and let it go and just do the ride, you know, because I can check out like that, and man, I could get there and never know. But if I did that, guess what? That's what they would think life was really all about. And that's where they would stay focused. And so we have to do it intentionally. We have to set the standard of the things that we talk about at home. We have to set the standard of the things that our kids are influenced by. We have to be able to do that. I know oftentimes I don't know if you've ever heard it, but as a parent, I always hear, but it's just a little bit. Dad, it's not bad. It's just a little bit of lyrics in it. Or it's a little bit of it's just a little bit of a love scene in that movie. Or it's just a little bit of this. And so, you know, you've probably heard my story about a little bit before, but let me just share with you how I explain just a little bit of something negative in our household. See, there was a lady who had two kids, and she was raising them up, and one of the kids decided he was just old enough that he could go see whatever kind of movie he wanted. And so he got on to his mom, you know, asked if could he go to the movie. She said, no, there's some stuff in it you don't need to see. He said, yeah, but it's just a little bit, Mom. You know, and you need to let me go see it. You know, come on, Mom, it's just a little bit, it's just a little bit. She said, okay, so I'll make a deal with you. I'm going to make some brownies and let you eat those. And we're gonna talk about, I'm gonna demonstrate to you what a little bit can do. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to take this spoon, and I want you to go out to the dog lot, and I do want you to just get a little bit of dog poop on the spoon and bring it back in. And while you're doing that, I'm gonna make the brownie mix. Kid's like, why in the world would I do that? So he listens to his mom, he goes out and brings it in. And so she dumps it in the brownie mix and begins to mix it all about. And the kid's like, ooh, Mom, I can't believe you're doing that. That's so nasty. And so she mixes it all up good, and she begins to put it in. She offers him to lick the bowl. And he's like, no, Mom, I'm not licking it. I'm not licking it. That's nasty. What are you doing, Mom? I can't believe you're doing this. So she puts them into the muffin pan, puts them in the oven, and, you know, 20 minutes later, she pulls them out. And she says, here, now I want you to eat these brownies. He said, I'm not going to eat that, Mom. He's like, Mom, there's dog poop in that. She said, yeah, but it's just a little bit. Now, you think about that. I wouldn't eat those with just a little bit in them. Why would we want to expose our kids to just a little bit of stuff that's going to influence how they think and how they see the world? I'm guilty. I fall into it sometimes. But I've had to begin to look at all the things that I allow to come into my mind. And just the effect that they can have on a 47-year-old mind, what in the world kind of effect could they have on a 13-year-old or a 7-year-old? And how could they affect how they view the world if I let them be exposed to that. You and I need to think about what a little bit can do when we just let a little bit in. The Bible says that we are to train our children. Proverbs 22:6 says, train the child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Now, there may be some issues along the way, and most of us as parents, especially of adult kids, can probably attest to that. There's always a walking away, and you know, but the prayer is that there's always a coming back, that they won't turn from that when it comes time to buckle down and be who God wants them to be. The more we can train them as they're young, the hope is that the less turning away they'll be. But the reality is the scripture doesn't lie. It says they won't turn from it. They'll come back. It'll guide them and it'll direct them. And so we need to do as much as we can to train them. The word for train there in the Hebrew was konak. And it meant to train. And what they would do is the children, they would take a little paste of the mother's milk and they would rub it on the palate of the child. And that would create this desire for the child to feed itself from the mother. And so it was a training. They got the flavor and they got this movement and everything going on about there. It was a training time and a growing time for the child. And that's the word we're to do. We're to give them. We're to give them a touch of what the world is about so they'll want to desire it. If you want your kids to be better, you got to be better. You got to love God with all that you have. As best that you can, the best, all your ability, is to love him with everything that you got. And to let him see that. And then that's the training that hopefully will bring them to where they need to be. It's the transferring of the dependence from us to him. Proverbs is full of opportunities to help our kids understand. I mean, you just open up Proverbs and you just read those, man, you could be the best parent you could ever be. I was reminded of that as I was studying and just got into them. I was thinking about this. There are some things that we learn, some training we get from Proverbs that is really priceless. The first one is that you can train them to manage God's money. You know, I saw something the other day. Somebody had posted something about how in high school and college, nobody ever taught them how to manage their checkbook. And that's where I was. Nobody ever taught me how to really manage that. And so we go to school, we get all these degrees, and nobody even tells us how to manage the money we're going to make with them. Isn't that crazy? I mean, wouldn't you think that would be a kind of a cool class? In 1 week, they could teach you how to manage a checkbook and all that, and man, we just let kids go. But here we can learn through Proverbs, we can learn how to teach and show our kids how to manage God's money so that they are able to come out of school with some sense about that and not find themselves in trouble. We can train them to carefully select friends. Man, I don't know about you, but I had friends who influenced me to do some crazy stuff. Somewhere there's some parents who said, you know, my kid had a friend who influenced him to do some crazy stuff too. His name was Ron Laughlin, you know? So I got my own little things, you know, but the reality is, We can teach them how to carefully select friends. That's one of the conversations that Allie, my 13-year-old, and I have all the time. It's about the friends that we have and the influence that they have on us that really can make the biggest difference. And Proverbs reminds us how to do that. Train them to watch their words. I have this one word that comes out sometimes, especially when I get kind of wired up and wound up about something. And it's the word freaking, all right? Now, you need to understand, I don't use the word freaking like most people use the other F word. I really just mean freaking because it's like crazy, whatever, you know, kind of thing. And I use it like that. It's not because I just don't, you know, I'm trying to use some kind of substitute. But the reality is that word comes out and most people think it kind of has a negative connotation to it. And that I get that. And so there's a conversation that always happens at my house whenever that word comes out. My wife, you know, reminds me that's not a good word. And we used to go round and round about it until I heard my 5-year-old at that point use that word. And it sounded a whole lot different coming out of her little mouth than it did out of my mouth. And it was a reminder of the fact that our words have such influence and power. As we speak, our kids are going to speak. Listen, I went on a field trip with my daughter's seventh grade class. Let me tell you, some of those kids, they've been hanging out with some sailors, okay? Because I heard some words, I'm like, man, I can't believe I just heard that. But the reality is we need to teach our kids to watch their words and understand that words do have influence. They do have power. And to help them understand how they can love people with their words, or they can harm them and murder them figuratively with their words. We need to train them to be responsible. Gosh, that's like a whole message series right there. Teach kids to be responsible, to take responsibility for their actions, to teach them that there are things that need to be done. You know, I'm trying to find scripture about dishwashers at my house, you know, because it needs to be cleaned out, and I'm trying to teach her how to be responsible about it. Man, I wish God would have put something about a dishwasher in there. If you know something, tell me. I'll use it. Number five, we need to train them to guard their minds. Here's why we don't teach them to guard their minds now. It's because we don't guard ours. Just being straight up, we don't guard our own minds. We watch stuff, we see stuff, you know, pull up our computers or our phones and we see stuff on there that doesn't need to be there. Man, I'm just telling you, we need to guard our minds, because what we put in, it will come out. Somewhere, somehow, it will come out. That old garbage in, garbage out thing, gosh, they used to puke when I'd hear adults say it, but now the reality is it's true. We need to guard our minds of what goes in them. We need to train our kids to be generous. You know, I caught myself one day, Allie was saying, Dad, I didn't eat those cookies you sent for lunch the other day. I said, what'd you do with them? So I gave them away. I said, what are you doing giving the cookies away to all your friends, you know? I mean, we pay for those cookies. You know, you can't be giving them out and giving them away to everybody. And then I was like, man, I just berated my kid for being generous. You know, because she it wasn't that she didn't want them. She just gave them away because she wanted to give them away. And before God reminded me, I almost just squashed that. We need to teach our kids to be generous, because guess what? If we teach our kids to be stingy, guess what? They're going to be stingy adults too. And our society is even feeling some of that, because we've become so selfish that we're not as generous as we need to be. Train your kids to be generous. Train them to fear God. Not to be afraid of Him, but to fear Him. So, well, what does that mean? That means that they need to understand that God is a God of love, and He loves them greatly, but He is to be revered, and He is to be honored for who He is. He is the one who made the greatest sacrifice for every single person. He gave His life. He gave His Son to give His life on a cross to pay the price for everyone's sin. He's the one who loved us enough to not leave us in the condition separated from Him. He loved us enough to send His Son Jesus to come and die on a cross to pay the price for our sins, to be buried and raised again, so that you and I could be forgiven and set free of our sin and to be able to spend eternity with Him. He is to be feared because he's a wrathful God. There is a healthy fear to that, but it's a to be revered. He's to be looked at with honor and reverence. And we need to teach our kids that. So we need there are all kinds of training that come out of the scriptures. Look those scriptures up. Teach them to your kids. Help them to understand that. We need to become fully devoted followers of Christ. We need to be adults. We need to be parents. We need to be those who have influence on kids. We need to be people who love Him with all of our heart and are leading those around us intentionally, making sure that we don't just let things happen, but that we lead them from a biblical perspective to be all that God wants them to be. Listen, this series is going to be one that challenges us to be better people in relationships, especially with our kids, to not just look at people as that cross our paths, as people who have no purpose in our lives, who have nothing to do with where we are, but people that we can influence. And let me just tell you, if you have kids around you, you have the greatest opportunity of influence. And so do you love your God with all your heart or some of your heart? And parents, here's the biggest question. Are you leading your children, or are your children leading you? Today, if you can't answer both of those positively, it's time to make some decisions, and it's time to make some confessions, and it's time to make some changes in your life to be able to do the things that God has called us to do. Maybe you're here and you say, well, but Ron, I don't have kids. Well, let me ask you this question. Are you leading your friends, or are your friends leading you? Are your coworkers, you know, are you leading them, or are they leading you? See, we all have the opportunity to make changes in this world. And we've been commanded to do that. So are we doing it? Are you doing it? Let's pray. God, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to just talk about your word, God. I look back at Deuteronomy and the great things that you did and moving and just shaping people, a people that you loved. And God, the examples that we see in the Old Testament of the trials and the things that they went through, God, on many times of their own on their own responsibility, God, that God, you show us that so that we can today make choices to be able to avoid that. And so my prayer is today that we'll certainly, as parents, that we'll look at how we're raising our kids, that as those who have influence over people around us, that we'll look and see, do we truly love you with all we have? Do we truly lead those around us in a way that lifts you up and glorifies you and gives you the reverence that you deserve? God, I know so often I fail. So often I'm just not all that I need to be, and God, I pray that you would forgive me of that. But in this room, I believe is full of people in the same situation. And so God, I pray in these moments as we search our hearts and search our lives for the things that lift you up and glorify you, that God, if things aren't there that do that, or if there are things in our lives that just aren't putting us where we need to be, that God, we'd confess them and we would allow you to make those changes. And so God, I thank you today for moms in this room. I thank you for moms that are in your presence today that have gone on before us, and how they have, so many of them have set the standard for us. And so God, I just ask that you would bless us today as we look to see how we can be more like you and more of who you created us to be. God, for those that need to make a decision to follow you today, to become a Christ follower, to accept your gift of salvation and to be changed for all eternity, God, I pray that this would be the moment they make that decision. For those who've made it and just need to come back and need to recommit to you, God, I pray that would happen in these moments. God, whatever it is that we need to do, may you have freedom in our hearts and our lives to make those changes. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name.